You are listening to KXRY, broadcasting on 107.1 and 91.1 in Portland and 91.7 in Halem. I'm Joe Londrigan. I'm a sports writer, and this is Northwest Sports Stories. Welcome back to Northwest Sports Stories. Joe Londrigan here with you for the last new episode of the show. Thank you all so much for tuning in over the last year. It's been a lot of fun to make these. Just wanted to do one more and check in on a couple sports stories. First, the big one, still Damian Lillard back with the Portland Trailblazers. He had some media availability this week, so we're going to listen into that, followed by some updates on the Portland Thorns. Let's jump into it.
Obviously, you have the reception that you kind of see online, but seeing the reception from the kids over the last day, what has that been like?
It's been great. You know, they've had a lot of energy and just excited. You know, a lot of them, as soon as I walked in yesterday, it was like, my bad,
I'm out of practice.
They all walked up and was like, man, you back, you know. So they was all excited about it. Last year when I did camp, and I wasn't on the team, and that was like the main question they all kept asking, like, are you gonna come back? And I didn't see it happening this soon, so I was like, maybe one day, but you know, it happened a lot sooner, so they have been excited.
Jersey day today, but pretty cool to see a lot of kids kept that letter O in the black and red, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not like I was here for a year or two. You know, a lot of these kids have had these jerseys for a long time. So, I mean, it wasn't a surprise, but I think due to the circumstances, a lot of them, you know, have worn their jerseys today.
And making sure this camp is still accessible for so many, too. Your respect schools got scholarships, kids here, BPI, Special Olympics here with the Unified partners. Yeah. Why is that important to you to still make this an accessible camp for so many kids to come in here?
Because I wanted to be the type of experience that all kids can remember. You know, I know everybody isn't fortunate enough to afford what it costs, but I mean, the camp coaches that we hire, the time that we put into it, I'm here all day. You know, we got to be able to compensate people properly so that they invest into it the way I want them to for it to be a quality camp. So even with that being said, I still want it to be accessible, like you said, for everybody. So we do a lot of scholarships, like you said, Black Parent Initiative, SEI, through my Respect program, and many other people that I just might know somebody that knows somebody that want their kid to come to camp, and I might just have at least 20 kids where I'm like, just bring them, and when they check in, I'll be out in the back, and I'll just get them on the list and get them on the team. So, I mean, we do a lot of that stuff so that all kids are, you know, able to have the experience.
How tough is it for you to this year not be able to participate in some of the on-court stuff with the kids because of the injury?
It's different because I'm usually just so involved. You know, I demonstrate a lot of the drills. A lot of times it's a segment with me specifically for about an hour or two toward the end of camp where I'm able to get on the court and show them specific things. And I kind of do it in a way where like I'm working out in front of them. I think another big part of camp is like I usually get here at 7 o'clock, and when they all come in, I'm toward the end of my workout and they get to see my last 30 minutes. So it's just not doing so much talking and demonstrating, but they are able to see a real example, you know, of how I train and what I put into it. So those parts of it I haven't been able to do, but you know, I still think there's a lot of ways that I can make it a quality camp still.
Does this year's camp make it, you know, this year's iteration, does it make it a little bit more special considering you back in a Trailblazers uniform? I mean, what's the feeling like considering you actually back in town as a player?
I mean, honestly, it was only one camp that I wasn't in a Trailblazer uniform. It was like one summer that I wasn't on the team. But I think it makes it special just because of, like I said, everything that's taken place over the last week. You know, just being back here after being here for over a decade and then kind of being on a new team for 2 years and it being so unexpected. You know, every part of the whole situation was just unexpected, and it just happened so fast that, you know, even the parents and outside of the campers are just like, you can just feel the energy. You know, the people are excited and more than anything, just happy, you know, to have me back here.
That video of you walking into the locker room has gone pretty viral. Can you just kind of explain the emotions that were going through you as you walked in there?
Yeah, it was just a great feeling. You know, it felt very familiar. I don't know, in my adulthood, it's been pretty consistent, you know, pretty stable in everything that I've done. So like being here for so long and then being in Milwaukee for 2 years, and it just wasn't, you know, that type of feeling. You know, I had a good 2 years, you know, a great organization. Everything was done proper, and, you know, it was a good situation. I think it just wasn't what my full adulthood and my career had been. You know, like, this is where I built my life and my home and everything. So walking back through those doors and walking back to my locker was just like, you know, these types of things just don't happen in the NBA. So having that experience, you know, I wouldn't say I was overwhelmed, but I was like, I guess, feeling a lot of emotions because of that. You know, like, man, it's really, I never wanted to leave to begin with. So now that it's happening like this, it was just like, man, this is almost too good to be true.
Has this felt like a crazy busy week for you, going from the signing to the presser to the camp the very next day?
Yeah, like I said, it all happened really fast. And, you know, I feel like by the time I get home, the last 3 or 4 days, it's like almost time to go to bed. You know, I got to put my kids down, eat, take a shower, and then I get in my bed and I want to watch TV or something, but I just end up sleep, and then the next day is here and I got to get going again. So I haven't really even had the time to kind of sit back and even take in everything that's taking place. So days happening fast right now.
The number one thing that I think fans have wanted to know since the news broke that you were coming back: are you gonna get out to the coast finally?
What's funny is I was doing rehab, and my PT, who I've been with for years, he was like talking about going out to the coast and with his wife and all of that. And I was just like, I guess now that like it happened this way, I guess I should probably get out to the coast and just have that experience since I haven't done it yet. So I'm definitely planning on doing it. I might as well. So
One thing we didn't get to at the press conference, your thoughts on Drew Holiday and that signing and being a teammate of his after playing against him so many times.
Man, that's one of the things that I'm extremely excited about, because I think obviously I'm going to bring experience and leadership and just a vet who's been on the floor. You know, I've done it for a long time. But being able to play alongside another guard that's similar, you know, has won 2 championships, has a lot of experience. He's been an all-star in the NBA. He's been around a long time. And his personality, you know, who he is, I think it'll be great for the team, especially combined with what I'll bring to the team because of those same reasons. And I remember when he was leaving New Orleans, like me and him we talked about him coming here. Like that was like a real discussion. Like we was like trying hard. So I've always been a fan of Drew. I've always wanted to play with him. I think we'll play well beside each other. And, you know, once he came here, I was like, man, he was like, can I wear your number? But he was joking. I was like, nah, you can't wear my number. And it was just like a joke. But then, like, as soon as I was waived, and obviously he knows that I live here and built my home here and stuff. So he just, like, sent me the eyeball emoji. And I kind of knew already, like, I already knew where I was pivoting to when he sent it, but I just didn't want to say nothing too soon. And here we are. So,
and you played with him on the Olympic team too.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he the one that told you had to get the core surgery? Wasn't he the one that was like, he had that? And
yeah, we talked about it like during the Olympics, because I was trying to explain to everybody, because I couldn't practice once we got to Tokyo because it was just killing me. And he was just like, yeah, like it's going to stay that way. Like we talked about it for like every day. We'd sit there and talk about it. And that was kind of what pushed me to say like, all right, eventually I'm going to have to do it.
Not surprising after that Pelican series that you were interested in teaming up with him, because, yeah, man, I still got a lot of feelings about that one.
Yeah, that was like one of the more like hurtful moments of my career. You know, just like ultimately it was a moment that, you know, I had already been an all-star a few times. And I think I was first team that year, actually. I think I was first team All-NBA that year. But that was a turning point in my career where, you know, you reach that point where it's like, are you going to take another step and, you know, make another leap, or are you just going to, like, stay in that space? And I made my mind up, and I did, you know, all of the things that I need to do. And the next year, I, you know, made another jump. But that series and that moment definitely played a significant part in me, you know, growing a little bit more after that.
There was a report that you actually reached out to Drew after he got traded to Portland and spoke, like, fondly of the franchise. Is that true, and what was that conversation like?
Yeah, he was, because when I lived in Milwaukee, I rented his house for 2 years. So I actually had been renting his house for the last 2 years. So we talked a lot. Like, I was complaining to him about the Wi-Fi. Like, it's a clip online of, like, I shake his hand. We played them in Boston, and we had an interaction, and people was like, well, and we was literally talking about his Wi-Fi at his house. So he reached out just about, like, areas, like, to live in and stuff like that. And a little bit about the organization. And I, you know, I told him, like, I love Portland. I live in Portland. My family's in Portland. And it's a place when people come here to play, it's probably raining. They're here for a night. You know, it's gray skies. You don't really see much. I was like, but it's, I mean, I'm from California, and I've been living here for the last 13 years. So, I mean, I think once you get here and you get on the ground, you know, you learn to like it, or love it in my case. So that was kind of what I shared with him.
Meanwhile, on the pitch, it was a very busy week for the Portland Thorns. On Wednesday, the 23rd, they beat Japanese side Urawa Red Diamonds in a penalty shootout. Three Thorns Academy players featured in that match, notably Lily Yackel, as well as defender Juliet Twemlow and midfielder Shaylee Heidge. Just a fantastic performance there, getting the win. They spoke to local media after the game. Yackel, as well as Pietra Torden did, who just won June's NWSL Rookie of the Month as well. Here's what they had to say. In addition, Thorns lost in a penalty shootout a couple of days later to the Seattle Reign. They are moving on to a match against the Washington Spirit on August 3rd.
All right, we're going to go ahead and get started with tonight's post-match media availability featuring Miley McKenzie and Lily Yackel. Thank you both for being here. We're going to go ahead and get started with our one and only Taylor Vincent.
Nice, Taylor.
Yes, Taylor.
Interesting question anyways, but it's the easy one, which is just kind of start us off with your thoughts on the match.
Yeah, first off, congrats to Lily.
Thanks.
That was really awesome.
It was a great experience being able to come out here and play my first game with the Thorns at, like, such a young age. Like, I was been looking forward to this day for, like, a while, and I never thought it would come, but it did.
And as for us, I mean, obviously, we probably would have wanted to come out of that with a win, but it was a good stepping stone. We've been talking about how these past few weeks, people have been away at international break. It's just been kind of a hodgepodge of teammates here. So this is our first week we're all back together, minus Dana. So it's kind of just a first step towards putting in a full 90 for Spirit. So, yeah.
And then, right, you have had this elongated break. You have Seattle on Saturday, which is always, there's nothing friendly about it, even in the preseason. Kind of, did you see today as kind of building into that, right? Because you have, right, the friendly on Saturday, and then we kind of get back into the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, whenever we play Seattle, it is full-fledged Seattle. We never take that lightly, especially when they're coming to our turf. You know, it's something that this is hallowed ground here. So we're making sure that when they come here, we're going to put our best foot forward and hopefully go in with a win to starting off the season again.
And then for you, right, getting time with the rest of the team, what does it kind of mean for you in terms of your professional goals, kind of seeing what level they're all at throughout the week?
Knowing the level that they're at will help me in the future to, like, know where I need to be. And it sets a goal for, well, how the tempo in the future and where I need to progress to get to be able to play at this level and actually be on the team.
And what do you think like your biggest takeaway from today is?
Just if you make mistakes are okay, and if you make a mistake, just keep going. Like, it doesn't name your whole game or and when you make a mistake, just put it behind you and then keep doing better. Learn from that
Yeah,
mistake.
I feel like that's smart. It's such a fast-paced style of play, especially at this level. So like learning that at your age is going to help you so much as you grow because it's always just the next play that matters.
And then at the start of the second half, they announced that Sync would be added to the Ring of Honor. Right, Mally, you've played with her. You're clearly in Portland, so you understand what Sinclair means to this city. What does it mean to kind of, right? There's a bunch of guys' names up on the ring right now, and to kind of get one of us up there.
That's incredible. I mean, she is way more than deserving. I mean, I only got a year with her, and she was truly one of the greatest teammates we've ever had. Just a great leader, a fun person to be around. Like, her energy in the locker room was amazing. And then obviously what she did on the field is just unmatched. So she so deserves this, and I'm so grateful that they're giving that to her and giving her that honor.
Wait,
It's okay. We'll go for it. It's okay. So what does it mean for you to see like Sinclair succeed and kind of, I guess, have you looked up to her throughout your career?
Yeah, I mean, I never thought I'd be like at this close and being this closer, I guess, being on the same team that she was on. And it just means a lot to me how much I've in progressed over the years to get to, well, I mean, she was my
She set the standard pretty high.
yeah.
But she's definitely a good person for people to look up to, for sure. I mean, I know I last year just kind of soaked in all of her knowledge and funnies that she did. So I'm guessing the younger generations, when just watching on the fields, we're doing a lot of that as well.
And then Mally, what does it mean to you to kind of get that full 90 today? We've kind of been seeing you as one of those like super subs, game changers coming into matches, but kind of getting that those big minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that like we've been building up to, and I'm glad I got to do it. It's always good to get a full 90 on your under your belt and know that like it's something you're capable of doing. I'm happy that it's kind of at a point in time where we're picking back up. So like it's giving me the confidence that I need that if and when I get that call during the regular season, I'll be ready.
Wait, can I make a shout out?
Yeah, go for
Shout
it.
out to Thorns Academy for getting me here and my coach Tracy Nelson, who has helped me get to my where I wanted to be and over get me to be a better player and just give me all these opportunities that have led me up to playing with the first team.
Can I ask maybe a personal question? What are you gonna do with the jersey?
Oh, I'm gonna pin it with my in my room. this is like a really this is like the highlight of my year. Like, this is my favorite day I've ever had. I'm
I'll
just
pick
gonna
that up.
say
I'm curious to know more so what maybe Rob and your teammates told you leading up into you coming into the match.
wait,
Like,
sorry.
what was Rob telling you? Yeah, advice from Rob or.
Oh, he said just take risks. He wasn't gonna yell at me when
You would
if
hope
I made a
not.
mistake, and just try my hardest, and whatever happens, happens, he'll accept it. And he was just really supporting, and he didn't like he didn't yell at me once like when I made a mistake. So I was yeah, it was really fun.
You also came in and did a really good job,
Thank
so
you. You did too.
thank you.
That concludes availability with the Mally McKenzie and Lily. Thank you so much, both of you. And we'll go ahead and move on to Rob when he gets in. All right. Thank you both.
Thanks, guys.
Lily, poor old Lily, throwing at the deep end.
She was just like, it's funny. She was like, Coach promised he wouldn't yell at me this game. Just
bless her.
Didn't yell at
I
me.
didn't know.
Excellent.
No.
I hope you wouldn't yell at
We're not a bit. We're not a big yeller. No, I'm not a big yeller.
Okay, Rob, I'm guessing you could guess my question, but we'll start off with your general thoughts on the match.
Game of four halves, is that right today? Look, we knew it was going to be, I said to players, we know it's going to be disjointed because of the minute restrictions. We know in the middle 30, it's going to get a little bit dicey. We thought that they would bring their better players on towards the end, which we knew. And then obviously we wanted to finish strong so that the players that needed a consistent 30 didn't have to have the breaks either side of half time. So a bit of a pre-season exhibition feel to it for sure. But I was pleased how we started, turned them round, just final ball, I thought. But Lex was a threat all game. I thought she did well up there. Raylan was a handful tonight, took the goal well. And that front three were the three we were trying to push physically more than everybody else. And Carissa and Mally have had some bigger minutes as well, which we knew. So, yeah, I think overall got what we needed out of it. I was pleased. Like at the end, we probably should have won it. Lex hit the post. I think P had a shot. It didn't quite reach the goal line. It just seemed to stop. I don't know what happened there. There was some glue on the line or what happened. But, yeah, overall, really pleased to get the young academy players in. You know, you chatted to them, but they were nervous. So, and I'm just trying to calm them down and relax and trust their instincts. It's got them here. But it was a great day for the academy. Great day for the club all around. Obviously, Epicenter Week, we've had the Fawns through all the community cleanup. We're out of that, the academy game and this. So, yeah, really positive day. And in the end, we said we'd go for penalties. They agreed to it. Might be a little bit more fun. I was trying to tell the fans not to leave. But as an Englishman, I don't often win penalty shootouts. So I was well happy with that. And it was a little bit better than the England-Sweden penalties in the week. So, yeah, overall, a good day. Good night.
And then did you say anything to the academy players before the match in terms of giving them advice or?
Yeah, honestly, like I just said, we talked about it in the week and I just kept reassuring them, like, you're going to be fine. Just play on a two-touch rhythm. You just do your simple things. The game will open up and evolve and you just trust your instincts. And I was like, to the rest of the group, over-communicate, help them, make sure our matchups are good so that they could have, you know, it's hard, especially Julie going on at the end there and Torpy decided to stick a 45-yard dagger straight at her and she's one-on-one with a Japanese centre-forward. So I don't know if the senior players stuck to the plan, but the academy players certainly stuck to the plan. And, yeah, look, we know they're good players. They've trained with us a couple of days. Obviously, they're going to be nervous, bit of a crowd. But we tried to settle them down, keep it simple, and let them go out and do what we know they're capable of.
Are they going to continue training with the team or playing, I guess, on Saturday?
Not on Saturday, no. Now we gear up a little bit more. We can build the minutes. Obviously, the ones we got 30 or less, we're going to try and get up to that 60, 75 mark in the next game, push them a little bit. And we should have enough players with Naomi now that we're roster compliant and able to field an 11 and just do subs as normal, I believe.
And then I guess, when is Dina expected back?
You'll guess good mind there. It depends how Venezuela get on. There's every reason to believe they should make at least the fifth and the sixth match. And then that would put her very tight for Washington. So we don't expect her to be available for that game, in all honesty, with the travel and not having had any break, right? We're late getting Sam back, Issa, because we wanted to give them the necessary break like the rest of the players had. So I think you can expect Dana back after the Washington game.
And then how do you kind of manage the minutes restriction and knowing Saturday is a friendly, but it's also Seattle?
Yeah, well, obviously heavily rotated tonight with an eye on making sure that we've got a lineup and we're going to perform on Saturday. Saturday was the focus, with respect, obviously, to the opposition, because we know that quality opposition, good team. But I did tell Emmy and the coaching staff that we are going to use this to rotate and we're going to have some youngsters out there. And obviously they did the same. They, you know, went weaker lineup in the first half and put some of their established players on in the second half. So yeah, we'll regroup, make sure everybody, like touchwood, I think everybody came out healthy, which is a bonus every game we get this season where we don't have an injury. And we'll be sure to be ready for and neighbors to the north on Saturday.
And then kind of, I guess, how do you prepare for it, right? I guess when you have NWSL teams, you've got tons and tons of film. How do you kind of prepare for a team that's not in our league in terms of, right, what you expect them to be doing, especially knowing it is a friendly?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we did the scouting and took their league footage, and it's tricky because they're in preseason and 3, 4, 5 players, like the Chatting to Hina, who's in, who's out, how many changes, how many does she know? Nico Ruiz, our video analyst, done a good job on putting a report to me that I could then present to the players. Like I say, I knew once they come on towards the end, the stronger players, they're very good in the link play, the combinations, they pull you out of shape. So it was a great test. You know, we got Issa and Juliet, never have played together, probably won't again. You know, players coming on, so it's difficult. We knew that after halftime, that midfield three, Carissa, Naomi, and Shaylee, they're going to get challenged, but that was what we wanted it for. You need to see players in these environments. It's way better than training and just doing phases of play and playing against each other. And most importantly, it's building physically for Seattle. Then we know the players will be physically ready for Washington. I think like the players, people who've had games 2 weeks ago, you know, that doesn't serve the purpose of building. So I think we've got the build right. And let's just hope we can physically come out of it well with a good performance Saturday.
Because I'm not expecting a pregame before Seattle, right? Knowing that you will play them 2 weeks after we're playing them this weekend, kind of what are your goals for that match?
Build minutes, honestly. Build minutes, build performance, what we've been working on. It'll look very different than tonight. We'll have to obviously change up the front three just with minutes that they had to play and some heavy minutes tonight. So the ones who've done that will be in for a shorter load. But really now it's building for NWSL ready. And no better opponent to come and battle with than our neighbors. So, yeah, the focus is really getting people ready for Washington, but knowing that we want to put on a good performance in front of the fans against Seattle.
All right, this concludes today's post-match availability. Thank you, Rob.
That's going to do it. Thank you all once again so much for checking out Northwest Sports Stories. Please continue to support X-Ray at xray.fm. Check out the old archives as well. I know I'll be around. not that it matters. But again, thank you all so much for your support of community media and specifically X-Ray and the work that they do here in Portland. We'll talk to you soon. Stay safe, everybody out there. Enjoy the games.
For X-Ray comes from our friends at Cravedog, a brand's best friend, making vinyl records, CDs, custom shirts, apparel, merch, and more for Portland's artists and small businesses for over 30 years. More information and product browsing available at cravedog.com. Cravedog, a brand's best friend.
Support for X-Ray FM comes from Spielman Bagels and Coffee. Opened by Rick Spielman and his son Raph, Spielman has been serving handmade boiled and baked bagels and coffee since 2011. Their flagship store can be found on Southeast 21st and Division, or find one of their other shops on Northwest 23rd and Lovejoy, Northeast 22nd and Broadway, or in Multnomah Village. Support for X-Ray comes from New Deal Distillery. Find small batch craft spirits, bottled cocktails, local mixers, beer, wine, and more at New Deal Distillery and Bottle Shop, located in the Central East Side at 900 Southeast Salmon Street. More information at newdealdistillery.com.